Are you saying
you faked with me?
Yeah.
Wrong. Now you're single.
What do you know about sexual relations?
Is it true that if you don't use it, you lose it?
I'm a little worried about being a slut.
You're listening to the Come With Us podcast, talking the good, the kinky, and the ugly. Here are your hosts, Beth, Aaron, and Tina.
Hello, hello, all you sexy holds and poles. Welcome to Come With Us podcast, where you are part of the naughty, sexy, fun conversations that everyone wants to listen in on. And today, even though we're not being actually so naughty and sexy, this is a huge, huge, important one. Hopefully, I think one of the podcasts that might be able to save your relationship, actually. I'm telling you, it is that important. So I'm Beth Darling, your sexy genius here from sexyedschool.com, where smart, successful, and even spiritual people go to become as confident in love and sex as they are in life and work. So if you go to sexyedschool.com, please feel free to use Come With Us, Come With Us, C-O-M-E, Come With Us as your promo code, and you will get 20% off all of the courses there. So have some fun and learn a little bit of sexy fun stuff. All right. Well, welcome. Thank you, Tina and Aaron, for being here as we dive into four relationship killers. And I mean that. These are really serious things. All right. Any clue what they are? Has anybody ever talked to you about the science of relationships? And do you know the name Drs. Gottman?
I know their names. I've heard of them. Yeah.
Okay. So it's Dr. Julie and John Gottman, and they have been studying, marriage and relationships for, 30 years, freaking forever. Have you ever heard of them?
No, no, no idea what you're talking about.
Okay. So everybody should know their name. They really are the research basis, for relationships, and what they have done, the Gottmans are amazing. They have studied so many that they can tell you within 5 minutes, if they listen to a couple argue about even something little or something big, 5 minutes, they will tell you within a 90% chance accuracy who's getting divorced. Isn't that incredible?
That's fucking scary.
It is scary. And frankly, it's probably less than 5 minutes, because when they hear these four relationship killers, that's the sign. Right? It's pretty fucking huge.
Do you have to hit all four or what?
No, any of them. Any of them. But they often come together. So, right? So that's how significant these are.
How often do they just sit there and do that?
Oh, they've in thousands and thousands.
Like, do people pay them to go, hey, watch us fight and tell us that we're fucked, like we're fucking doomed?
Well, yeah, because they'll do coaching and stuff, and they have programs. They really are the leaders. They have books, all sorts of, if you search the Gottmans, they're amazing. So, all right. So, but very quickly, the thing is, these four relationship killers, they call them the four horsemen of the apocalypse. They are so simple. So really, just from listening to us, you should be able to help repair and avoid these in your relationship. They're very, very, very simple. All right. So the first one, let's say, start with criticism. Criticism is the first horseman. All right. And I guess, hold on, let me back up and say, first of all, that couples who get divorced, a lot of times we think, oh, they're the ones who fight all the time. But weirdly, 60% of people who get divorced are couples who actually don't fight. In other words, they're so uncomfortable with conflict that they sweep things under the rug, they don't fight,
and they keep it bottled up.
They keep it bottled up, and then they're more likely to get divorced. So fighting is actually a very natural and reasonable and rational thing to engage in a very happy, healthy relationship. Just a given. So it's then how we fight. And these four relationship killers all show up during the way we fight. All right. So criticism. So criticism is, let's say, I don't know, what was the last fight you had with your wife, Aaron? I'm not asking.
The last fight. Or what's something you fought about
with your wife?
We argued recently because she had a headache and she was just grouchy. And so finally, like, I was like, okay, if you're going to be grouchy, that's fine. But I'm going to go do something and be productive with my day. I'm not going to sit here on the couch while you be grouchy and you just scowl at the TV. Like, if you want to do that, that's fine. That doesn't bother me. But I don't want to be around you like that. Like, I could go be, I have a shed I can paint. I have a fence I could fix.
You're so productive.
I don't want to just sit and wait for you to wait to see if this tide rises or falls. I like, you tell me when you feel better.
Okay.
And you come and talk to me like an adult. Other than that, like, you know, I understand being upset. I understand not knowing why you're upset or just being in a mood. Go for it. Okay. But I don't want to be around it.
Okay. So up until, there's only one tiny little part. Up until then, I was like, that's perfectly healthy, reasonable, etc. Do you have any idea where the criticism came in and showed up?
Yeah, like the second to last sentence. But what did you say?
Oh.
Like, I didn't say that. God, no, I'm not that stupid.
What was it? Wait, what is it? You didn't hear it? I didn't hear it.
What did you think it was?
Oh, God. Oh, now I lost my train of thought.
It was when...
Repeat it.
He said, when you're ready to be an adult.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I never said that. I've never said that out loud.
I'm not
dumb enough to say that out loud.
Well, perfect. Because that would be the difference of criticism. So other than that, right? Because people are like, well, if I don't criticize them, then I can't ever have a disagreement. So no, you can deal with a particular issue. Okay. You are in a grumpy mood. You are entitled to be in a grumpy mood. I simply don't want to be around and I will be available when you're not. All of that's totally good. But criticism is when you're attacking their personality or their character as opposed to simply the specific.
Yeah. And so I know I did not say when you're ready to be an adult. My wording was when you get out of this mood or you figure out what I can do to help you get out of this mood, come and find me.
Okay.
And that was it. But in my head, that was what came out my mouth. In my head was when you're ready to be a fucking adult and realize that, like, you can acknowledge that you're in a bad mood, we can have this talk. But expecting me to sit on the couch and just watch you be in a bad mood is not productive for anybody. And it's not going to do anything but cause really more tension for me to watch somebody be angry.
Right. So again, you could have been one of those 60% and been quiet. And that's just silly. And you're right. It's going to build up. And then I love that you were smart enough that even though you didn't know these four relationship killers, part of you knew that's not okay.
Yeah. Never, ever. Don't ever do that kind of thing. Don't ever go, hey, by the way, like, don't ever use that, like, when you want to act like an adult. Hey, when you want to prove that you're just as much in this relationship as I am, don't do that kind of shit.
Right. Or even use terms like, you're always grumpy and I'm just tired of it. Right. That's criticizing her instead of just dealing with the particular situation.
Always or never.
Yeah, those are just bad.
Two absolutes.
And yeah, now kitchen sink.
Kitchen sink. Throw everything in. And that's criticism versus here's the specific thing that we're talking about. This is bothering me and moving on.
And I'll admit, before we move on to the next thing, I'll admit, like, I'm not perfect. I use never all the time because there are times where I say things that, like, I'll say a full statement of something that my wife needs to acknowledge that, hey, we're going to do that. Like, hey, I'm going to shower and then we're going to go and we'll go out to dinner.
Yeah.
And then I'll be in the shower and she'll come in and be like, well, what are you doing? I'm like, I told you I was going to shower. And it builds up over time. And finally, every now and then, I'll just go, you never listen to a fucking word that comes out of my mouth.
Right.
Every time, you only listen when you want to listen. When I try to get your attention, I have to wave flags. And I've said it before and it causes fights and it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
But and so I'm not here trying to say that I'm the perfect husband and that I'm I fuck up that way sometimes.
So, and if you do, because all of us are totally imperfect, but if you do see any of these four relationship killers, if you go back and address them, you will help your relationship immensely, because otherwise you start and you only use them, like, say, once every week. And then, you know, a couple of years later, now you're using them twice a week and it just becomes more patterns. And that is, it's just not good. It's not healthy. And it tends to just escalate things and make it impossible. Right. What fights are good for is airing frustrations and helping resolving issues. Making them bigger and escalating them doesn't ever help. So, and it hurts us personally.
Yeah. Criticism. I don't remember where I had heard it or read it or something like that. Criticism. I'm trying to remember the exact metaphor that was used. It's like, criticism is telling somebody, like, hey, or not being critical is telling somebody, hey, I wish you would do something or something like that. But a criticism is more like taking a knife and putting it to their throat and saying, you need to do this kind of thing.
Yeah. It's an assault on your personality or your character instead of simply the, oh, you left your clothes laying on the floor again. It really drives me nuts. Instead of, you're such a fucking slob.
Yeah.
And you leave your clothes all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's criticism.
Yeah.
And it's bad. So.
And it can come in joking form too.
Yes. People think people that try it's to hide funny it behind and sarcastic. A joke. It's not. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's a slow poison. So criticism is one of the first, their horsemen, the first relationship killer. Okay. The next one is contempt. Second one is contempt. Contempt, and I am guilty of this. So contempt is when you're attacking a sense of self with an intent to insult or abuse. And the one that shows up so often for so many people, including me, is eye rolling, right? It's this, how could you even say that? How could you think that? Or I can't believe you, or that's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I'll go into my bag of history. I apparently roll my eyes when I have no idea that my muscles are doing that.
Yeah.
So like I'll blink, but apparently my eyes start rolling to the back of my head before my eyelids shut.
Uh-huh.
So it will like, it really shows itself in an argument, but it happens all the time where like, I'll be having just a regular conversation with my wife and there's no tension. We're having a great day, but she'll be like, why'd you just roll your eyes? I'm like, I didn't roll my eyes. Like I have no control over knowing my eye. And so like, and I can't do it when there's a mirror around. Like I've gone and just watched myself blink in the mirror going, okay, is it happening? No. But especially when we're in a fight or anything like that, and I'll blink, she'll then fly off of like, why are you rolling your eyes? I'm like, it's not a, I don't roll my, like I will make it obvious if I were rolling my eyes at you. My eyes just, for some reason, naturally, every time I blink, look like I'm rolling them.
So my guess is that they probably do it more when you're trying to withhold saying something.
No, but there's some subconscious, it happens all the time.
Right. But sometimes you probably are withholding something like, and you're not like, it may not be a major thing, but you're like, oh, I just don't want to say that. And that there's a physical manifest, but who knows?
I don't know.
Who knows? But
maybe
but
I have
eye problems. That kind of contempt that not only are you a fucking loser, but like everything about you.
Belittling.
Like that belittling. Yes, that's a very good thing. So
like making.
Yeah. I think Tina, I think you know a little bit about this sort of contempt in relationships sometimes, right?
Yeah. It happens.
Definitely. It happens. And it's really hurtful because you can't come back. I mean, I grew up with a mother who told me I was a slob all the time. And then a husband who told me like that takes a toll, or being told you're so lazy. You never want to do that. That's contemptuous, and it really does erode somebody's spirit, their confidence, and their sense of self, really. It's incredibly hurtful, and it doesn't help resolve anything, because I am not going to be neater when you call me a slob.
Yeah.
If you want to just talk about the clothes on the floor, then much more likely that we'll change something.
Yeah.
So, all right. And, oh, and that can also, so contempt is like, as you were saying too, the line of, well, if you really loved me, if you weren't so selfish, things like that, if you thought about me more often, whatever, those are contemptuous. All right. Then the number three, the third relationship killer is defensiveness. Defensiveness. I'm pretty sure all of us at this table are guilty of that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, all right. So Tina, how does defensiveness, can you say, how does it show up for you?
I mean, when you get called out on something, especially like, let's say if you are wrong, it definitely presents itself, in that form. It can be.
Yeah. So then it's like, you turn it into, oh, I'm the victim.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to be attacked and you want the blame to shift. So it's like, well, I would have picked up my clothes if you were nicer to me, or if I wasn't in such a hurry to get the kids and do this. And if I didn't have a whole house to take care of while you sat on your ass and watched football, that would be defensiveness.
Yeah. I mean, that I understand where they're going with it, but I think that is also like, defensiveness is just part of the human psyche. Always has been, always will be, that, you know,
it's you're always
going to protect yourself like that. That's,
but you can't, because what it does, right, is that when you are protecting yourself, what you're doing is then you're not acknowledging your role and you're making excuses, which again doesn't help get things done. It just drives the argument deflects the argument into something else, right? So I agree, it's totally natural. It's just also unhealthy.
I mean, I'm not going to argue against that. I'm just saying that it's just human nature of defensiveness, especially especially when it's somebody who you are so vulnerable with, like when you're in a long-term relationship or married or anything like that. You have chosen this person of all people in the world to put your most vulnerable self in. You have taken down all of the walls. You have opened up your shield. You are just ready. And anytime something like that happens, your first instinct is close everything up, you know, bar the defenses, let's go, kind of thing.
Right. Okay. So then that makes sense. So then again, if you do, right, if you do, then try to, as quickly as you can, to get into your brain, right, instead of that emotional, that heart, and kind of go, oops, wait, I'm sorry, hold on, let me just step back, give me a minute or two to avoid, like, I'm getting flooded. Flooded is the term for getting all these adrenaline and cortisol, like stress. Oh my God, protection. And be like, okay, wait a second. All right, hold on. All right, you want to talk about the fact that I left clothes on the floor? All right, let me talk about clothes left on the floor. And yeah. And
we'll so much easier said than done.
So much
like
easier said
billion
than done.
Times. That is a one of the times. Hardest things I have ever seen in any human nature is, you know, a conflict arises and you go into emotional mode. I get emotional about stuff, and I get emotional, especially about things that you care about. You really, really are passionate about.
And when you're insecure, you get more defensive quicker.
That too.
Yeah.
But like working in radio, there are things that when something would break, that I had no control over, I would get super emotional about it and I would throw and I would punch the wall and stuff like that. And both my co-hosts would be like, dude, stop being so emotional. And it's easy to say, but to me, I had to explain it. I was like, no, this is my career. This is my moment. This is me, my chance to put my stamp on stuff. And when stuff doesn't work for me to make my job actually right, it looks bad on me.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, so I mean, the defensive thing is the defense part, and then knowing when to pause your emotions and use logic. That is, for me at least, it might not be for other people. Other people might be able to just flip a switch, but it takes a lot for me to be, okay, logically, let me look at what's going on. Because when you're an outsider and you watch two people fight, or you watch two friends fight or anything like that, or you watch your spouse or significant other try to do something and get frustrated with it and throw it and go, fuck it, I'm not dealing with it. Yeah. It's easy as to look at the logical side and go, hey, just take a breath.
Right. Calm down. It's okay.
Like, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
But yeah, when it's with somebody you care about, it's a lot more difficult.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So I've got one very quick fix, but I'll share that after we go through, the next one too, which is stonewalling. So stonewalling is the number four, relationship killer. And it kind of comes last because in most relationships, what happens is that these horsemen sort of show up in this sort of order because it's a little bit of an escalation. First, we start by criticizing somebody. Then it turns into contempt where we've lost respect for them after a little while. Then we're so frustrated that we're just defensive and we aren't willing to really hear things about ourselves. We're going to throw it right back to them. And then the last one is sort of when we've given up. And it's often a sign that the emotional, I say there's a legal divorce and an emotional divorce. Stonewalling can be the first sign of that emotional divorce, because what it is that you withdraw. You withdraw to avoid conflict. You withdraw because it conveys disapproval, distance, and separation. And that's where I didn't hear you. What'd you say? Or, I'm not even listening. Or I can't talk about this now, and leaving out. Or literally just not responding when somebody's just reading and refuses to pay any attention to what the other person says, or they go off and blah, 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 blah. Oh, you left clothes on the room, blah, 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 blah. Oh, hey, do you want to go to a movie tonight or should we have pizza? That's stonewalling.
Yeah.
And it is a death knell. It is the last, and it is really, really a death knell. So I don't know. Do you ever do that? I think, Tina, do you ever?
Yeah.
You stonewall?
For sure.
I'm not very good at stonewalling. I can't. It's like bait. Like, you know, an argument is kind of bait, and I just have to jump in.
I've done it before.
Yeah.
I just think I've only done it like probably one or two times, but the fight had gotten bad enough where I was just like, all right, just I'm done for now. Like I'm not dealing with it. You can be right. You can parade around thinking that you won. I don't care. Like you only win if I acknowledge the fact that I lost, and I'm not acknowledging that. I'm just saying I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, that's it. I don't give a shit. Your feelings don't matter. Even if it's important to you, I'm not going to care about it. Yeah. That's exactly stonewalling. Yeah.
Now I've done it looking back. I've also done it like when I've said it have been over not a your feelings don't matter, just a we're making too like the decision we're trying to make right now. Mm-hmm. We are making something such a mountain out of this molehill. I'm going to let you drive the car because I don't like it's we're really overthinking and blowing something out of proportion. And once we both emotionally calm down, we're both going to look at it and go, why the fuck were we stressed about this? Come on. Right. And so that's my normal go-to. The few times I've done it has been like, you know what? I'm out. Like say that you won, calm down. It doesn't matter to me. And in 10 minutes, once your heart rate goes down, you're going to realize it didn't matter to you either. Your body just, if your emotions got the best of you, just like they got the best of me, we just need to tap out and one of us needs to bow down or to back off for a minute.
So I appreciate, and I've got a couple of hints that I think will go along with it, because the only problem with doing that is that the way you do that can actually escalate her emotions even more. When you just bow out, i.e. stonewall, her emotions get even more intense because again, fighting, and this is why couples who fight, they're still emotionally attached to each other. And when you stonewall, you literally have left them emotionally by themselves. And that's how it feels. So, but you're not wrong. In fact, you're totally right that a de-escalation and letting things calm down is brilliant. It's just a question of how you do it. So, All right. So I've got a couple of tips for that. So I've got now everybody, we've got the four killers. It's criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And, all right, so take a break for a second because we want to give a special shout out and thank you to Manscaped.
Yeah, so Manscaped has been partnered with us now. This is our third week with them, and we're really happy that they have decided to join us. You've heard in the past if you listen to the other episodes. If you haven't, what the hell is wrong with you? We'll get on those last two episodes.
We meant that nicely. We're not insulting you.
I'm not insulting you. I'm saying get your priorities straight. We're supposed to be a priority, damn it. Come on.
There you go. We need all your love and affection.
I
want to
be a priority for people.
Yes, please.
But anyways, yes, I wanted a Manscaped razor for Christmas. I got a little bit too nervous and deleted it from my wish list a little early. And then lo and behold, I guess the world,
the universe,
somebody out there is working in mysterious ways because just a couple weeks ago, we got an email saying, hey, we're Manscaped. We've seen what you do. We love what you do. We want to partner with you. Yay! And oh, by the way, we're going to send you a basket of goodies that you can try and make sure you like using it. We don't want you to endorse something you don't actually stand behind, which is also really great of a company because a lot of companies don't go, hey, try our thing. And then if you don't stand behind it, we're cool. You know what? We'll shake hands and call it good.
Yeah, they're like, fuck
they're
you.
They're awesome about this of, hey, use it, try it, make sure you like it. And then if you do, let's talk about it and let's promote it a little bit. And so the new Lawnmower 4.0 is out. You can go to manscaped.com. You can use our promo code COMEWITHUS, C-O-M-E with us. That gets you 20% off your order and free shipping. That Lawnmower 4.0, it's got such sharp blades. They are not so sharp they're going to cut you, but they're sharp enough that they're going to get you all trimmed and cleaned up and everything like that. You also have the Weed Whacker, which is good for your nose hair, good for your ear hair. Which somebody I've said before, I was never taught as a kid or when going through puberty that as you grow older as a man, your nose hair and your ear hair become a lot bigger problem than anything else. So you got to trim it up and keep it nice and clean. So it
and women don't talk about it, but women, we also,
they notice.
Like, yeah, they, well, no, we also get nose hair.
Oh,
and waxing
too.
Your nose hair is gross. And using that Weed Whacker from Manscaped was the best. 2 seconds, super sharp. I loved it. So
yeah.
So thank you, Manscaped. Yeah, again, y'all know us and we aren't going to tell you bullshit anyway, but we liked a company that wasn't going to didn't want us to bullshit. And in fact, they said, hey, tell people what you really think. We're like, okay, we can do that
because
we're not very good about going off a specific script. It just sounds fake and yucky.
Yeah. So, I mean, the Lawnmower 4.0, like those, the trimmer itself is waterproof. It's going to help you reduce your nicks, all that stuff when you're down there because you don't want to do that. It'll also help reduce that risk of ingrown hairs coming in because you trim too close, sometimes an ingrown hair comes in, and then depending on where it is, like I've had one with a previous trimmer that was right in between my thighs and my balls. Ow. And so when I was walking around all day, it was rubbing and getting raw. Yeah, not fun. No. But also that lawnmower, and if when you're watching on video, you can see there's a giant light there. So it illuminates your package, and it illuminates all the nooks and crannies and crevices down there so you can get a nice clean shave and everything like that.
Yeah, it really made, it's a tiny little light, but it does, it made a huge difference because yeah. I did women, I stole it, and I, well, I used it on my pussy too. So, and I frankly loved it. So,
yeah. So make sure you go to manscaped.com, manscaped.com, use our promo code, come with us, C-O-M-E with us, 20% off, and you get free shipping. And your boss will thank you, and she will thank you, or he will thank you, and then you'll be sending us an email and Manscaped an email saying, hey, thanks. Yeah. I was cleaned up and somebody enjoyed being around me.
That's right. And I say it goes perfectly with the come with us promo code at sexyedschool.com because the neater and trimmer and everything you are down there, the more likely somebody is going to want to be to go down there. So, yeah. All right. Well, thanks again, Manscaped. So, okay. So let me give you, I don't want to ever just give you like the bad news, i.e. these are the four relationship killers. I want to give you a couple of very quick and very easy antidotes, if you will, to them that are specific to me that I say. So the first one is the last one, the stonewalling that you were like, okay, we need to stop talking about this right now because we're not getting anywhere. I say, call a code blue, or which is technical difficulty, just code blue, technical difficulties. Pause because we're getting flooded by emotions. We're not making sense. Code blue means we're going to come back to this in a little bit. Okay. It's not over. We know it's not that it's unimportant. It's just that I need to take a minute of a break. I say, you can use a code blue. If you have to pee, you can, you know, sometimes during sexy, it's like, oh my God, you're on my hair, right? It's a way to stop something without having anybody get defensive. If you're on the phone and you have to run, I say code blue and I hang up and people know, okay, I'm not being robbed. I didn't crash the car. It's just, I need to just pause for a minute and we'll come back and deal with it. But code blue when instead of stonewalling is perfect.
Okay.
Okay. And that will just de-escalate and everybody has to respect it because anybody can call it anytime. And then I suggest that there are only four things, right? Memorize them: criticism, contempt, defensiveness, and stonewalling. And then with your partner, assign them numbers 1, 2, 3, 4. And when they show up in an argument, instead of like, oh, you're using that or something, all you have to do is flash a number. And if you flash a number in the middle of an argument, somebody's going to look and then they think, oh shit. Okay. I'm sorry. I was criticizing you. So again, when you flash a number, they don't get so defensive. It doesn't make us feel, if you say, oh, you're criticizing me, immediately that defensiveness can pop up. But if you just kind of nicely just present a number, it gives us a chance to pause and take it back or make amends and apologies and go forward.
Yeah.
And I think that's huge and it's easy. And yeah, it can really make a big difference. So then Gottman's also have some different antidotes. And so let me tell you what those are. One, they'd say use a gentle startup. Instead of you fucking didn't take out the trash or you fucking left your clothes on the floor. If you start with the I just get a little stressed when I walk in and there's clothes all over the floor. If you could pick them up, it would really make a big difference to me. That is going to get you much, much farther than criticizing somebody. Two, build a culture of appreciation, which is that to avoid the contempt, you want to remind yourself of your partner's positive qualities and be grateful. Show gratitude for small things that they do or big things that they do on a regular basis, because contempt comes up when we're constantly feeding ourselves, oh, they're shit, they're shit, they're lousy, they don't care, da da da. And then we feel contempt for them. And that's when it comes out. If you don't feel contempt for somebody, you're probably not going to act with contempt towards somebody. So, and then against defensiveness, it's very easy. It's just taking responsibility. I know it's hard. I know you can pause. You can take a code blue. When somebody says, oh, right, I get really upset when the clothes are on the floor, I could take code blue. I want to say, you fucking, I'm just too exhausted, blah, blah, blah. Code blue. Give me a few minutes to figure it out. And then I can come back and say, you're right. I apologize. It's not fun to leave my clothes on the floor. And then separately, if I want to talk about, I'm too tired, I'm overloaded, I've got too much to do in the morning and I feel frantic, I can take that up as a separate conversation and deal with that specific issue in a more cooperative fashion. And And then when it comes to the stonewalling, basically you take a break and then you find, like, you do something that soothes and lets your hormones sort of go down. It's the hormone flooding is basically, it causes that fight, flight, or freeze reaction. And so if you sing songs, if you dance, if you jump up and down, if you go for a walk, if you listen to soothing music, any of those things will help. And it takes 20 minutes generally for those hormones to get sort of reabsorbed and for that flooding to go away. So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a really,
I'm always about the step away thing in an argument.
The step away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get some space, you know?
Yeah. But do you do it in a way that connects? No.
I don't do any of these things. Yeah. I'm going to be honest.
Right. Well, but this is the thing, right? These are really, they're so simple. Once you understand them, that they're so simple and the fixes are so simple that everybody should learn this, right? It should be part of every teenager's growing up, because it shows up in not just your romantic relationship or marriage, but it shows up in your relationships with your friends, with your peers, with your bosses, with your colleagues. These are absolutely four basic relationship skills, and they're four relationship killers.
The thing about this is it's really nice, but you have to be rational. Like, oftentimes I feel like, yeah, of course, like, you know, you're going to want to do all these things. But like, when you're angry, you're not really thinking about like, let me put two numbers up. You're like, go fuck yourself. Literally, and like come back when you actually have something nice to say.
Well, okay. And so that's true. But so oftentimes we don't usually just get super angry at the beginning. Like if you walk in the door and there are clothes on the floor, right? It generally, you might be sort of quickly anger, but if one person can be sort of the adult, that's all it takes, is one person can help de-escalate things, right? So if you're just like, this is fucking ridiculous, I can't stand it, and you're talking to me, I can actually say, okay, I want to take a code blue.
Yeah, that's true.
And then I can pause and you can understand that and know that we'll come back to it. And then I can wait the 20 minutes and be the grown up and know, rather than getting caught up in that, oh, well, it's not my fault.
But the thing
or
is,
whatever,
I can already see that being an argument in of itself. Like, why am I always the bigger person? Why the fuck do I always have to be the one to walk away? Blah, 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 blah.
Well, so that would be both criticism.
No, I know. But like I'm saying,
probably
like,
some
kind that would piss the shit out of me if I always had to be the quote unquote bigger person.
Well, but that's a bigger problem in a relationship. But the thing is once one person starts doing things and one person handles things better, it becomes easier for the other person to start stepping up also. Not always, but most times, then when you handle things better, your partner is going to start handling things better too. Plus, when you have tools, right? When you know these things and you have those tools, it's easier to not get so caught up in the frustration, because usually the frustration is, I don't know what to do. And we've had this argument again and again and again and again, and I'm fucking tired of it.
Yeah.
So when you start out with, okay, these are our tools, and you just practice, like literally do it as a challenge when you're getting along with your partner and be like, all right, here are these four tools. Let's practice them and do examples. But that way you're more familiar. And when it's important, you've already had experience.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. So again, I know it's not sexy, but I'm telling you, it is absolutely essential. And it's very, very, very simple. Simple to recognize, simple to understand, and simple to help repair, and then to learn how to avoid.
Yeah.
So, all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I know I just had to get that out there. It upsets me when people don't know. And these, you know, it's like not knowing there's an oven that you can use to cook. So, all right. Perfect. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Everybody, please let us know. Try these, practice with these antidotes, start recognizing and looking for these four relationship killers in your lives. And please let us know what happens and share your stories and your experiences. And if you have other hints for people how to deal with them, let us know, because really these things matter and they inform not only what we do and how we talk, but how we share with everybody else. So, all right. I'm Beth Darling, sexy genius from sexyedschool.com. Again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here for the podcast that, is about the bare naked truth about love, sex, and relationships. Aaron and Tina, thank you, thank you, thank you. This was so much fun. I appreciate you being vulnerable and sharing yourselves and your weaknesses. J- just like ours.
Let's go fight better.
Yeah.
Yes, sure. Let's fight better. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Come With Us podcast. Be sure to follow us on social media at Come With Us Podcast and send in your questions, comments, and confessions to comewithusconfessions@gmail.com. Until next time, keep it fun, flirty, and naughty.